Hello everybody and welcome to another one of my podcasts. Yesterday, the 8th of September, I was booked to go and see the premiere of the rebirth of a big band called the Midnight Follies Orchestra that used to exist in the late 70s and who specialised in the 1920s music of Duke Ellington and bands like that. I left here mid-afternoon and the news was saying that they were a little worried about the Queen's health. And that was it. By the time the band began their concert, they played the national anthem, and I didn't know why until somebody told me that the Queen had died. So I thought I'd begin by celebrating or doing something in tune with that fact. I'm old enough to remember that terrible piece of newsreel when King George VI, whom the Queen adored so much, was seeing her off on a tour of Kenya because he was too ill to undertake it himself. And that happened on literally my 5th birthday, so I can remember people singing God Save the King before that. Of course, he didn't live to see her return. And now it's her turn to leave the stage, as it were, and Prince Charles will be, well, he's now King Charles III, which is strange, I find difficulty in saying it. Back in podcast 42, because you can scroll back and listen to any of my podcasts, they all remain online, I played recordings of both King George VI's coronation and Elizabeth II until 1936, when Edward VIII turned out to be so unsuitable to be king. In fact, most of the country thought that the monarchy wouldn't even continue to exist. The Duke of York, who became George VI, was suddenly thrown into kingship, and that meant that Elizabeth, at the age of 10, became the next heir because he didn't have a male heir. Well, she's turned out rather well, hasn't she? Now, having made you already the coronation of George VI and Elizabeth II, what can I play you? I do have a strange record that was made on the 9th of May 1910. There had been 10 years of Edward VII, and then he died. And we were about to have a quarter of a century from George V. And this is, therefore, a 78 issued in 1910, an acoustic record, of course, sort of announcing, proclaiming, if you will, the arrival of this new king, George V. So I give it to you in celebration of his granddaughter and her wonderful reign. I have a feeling that Charles III, as I still have difficulty saying, will turn out to be an excellent king. We shall see. Meanwhile, here is this recording from 1910.
Whereas it has pleased Almighty God to call to his mercy our late sovereign lord, King Edward VII, of blessed and glorious memory, by whose defeat the imperial crown of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland is solely and rightfully come to the high and mighty prince, George Frederick Ernest Albert. We therefore, the lords spiritual and temporal of this realm, being here assisted with these of his late majesty's privy council, with numbers of other principal gentlemen of quality, with the lord mayor, aldermen, and citizens of London, do now hereby with one voice and consent of tongue and heart, publish and proclaim that the high and mighty Prince George Frederick Ernest Albert is now, by the death of our late sovereign of happy memory, become our only lawful rightful liege lord, George V, by the grace of God, King of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland, and of the British dominions beyond the sea, defender of the faith, Emperor of India, to whom we do acknowledge all faith and constant obedience with all hearty and humble affection. Beseeching God, by whom kings and queens do reign, to bless the royal Prince George V with long and happy years to reign over us. God save the king.
Amen.
And of course we heard those same strange old-fashioned words when they announced that King Charles III would now be the king. However, let's move on. I just received a box of CDs in which were to be found the entire recorded legacy of one of my favourite, if not my very favourite, soprano, Celestina Buoninsegna. Amongst the tracks there, and there are many, were the three recordings that she made for Edison in London in 1911. Now, Edison himself was a bit of an idiot. He was right-wing. He wouldn't let anybody make any decisions. And although he was three-quarters deaf and had appalling taste in music, it was he who decided which records were put out. And I don't think he liked Buoninsegna very much because he really went for small little sopranos who did little pretty English songs. However, these recordings were made. I'm not sure if all of them were put out. The big thing about Edison's diamond discs, which was his later format, is that they were very much the beginning of long playing records. You could sing for up to 6-7 minutes on one side of the record, which meant that singers could sing the entire aria at the speed at which they like to sing it on stage and without any cuts. And therefore, it's one of those that I'm going to give you. This is Ritorna Vincitor, recorded on the 4th of April 1911 by the great Celestina Buoninsegna. Ritorna Vincitor from Aida.
Woo!
Aida is the opera in which Bonnie Senior often made her name in various places around the world, but not in New York. It was the time that she sang with Caruso. One of the stories about that engagement was that he came off stage in the middle of the show somewhere, laughing, and they said, "What is it, Rico?" He said, "I can't hear myself," because she had such a huge voice. And yet in some of the reviews, they made out that her voice wasn't big enough to fill the theatre. They must have been asleep. However, she wasn't a success, and mainly because of her very strange garb. I suppose she wanted to show that she was an African, so she wore some sort of dark brown thing up to her neck to make her look like an African, but not her face. It was a disaster, and that was part of the reason that she didn't go well, because New Yorkers always loved to see elegant sopranos, and Emma Ames was the one who was known for her costume. I don't think Bonnie Senior ever forgot her. Anyway, changing the subject, we now have a new king, Charles III. When I was young, because he's just about 80 months younger than me, I was jealous of him because, being Prince Charles as he was, he got to spend time with the Goons, who were, of course, the definitive comedy trio of the 50s. They changed comedy forever in this country. And unlike so much comedy, it hasn't dated. It's just as ridiculous and funny now as it was then. Apart from their wonderful radio shows, they did make a few 78s. Their producer was George Martin, who later was the producer of the Beatles, of course. I wonder how much stuff that he learned technically from putting together Goons records he was able to put to use in the Beatles years. Well, we'll never know, although I've got my suspicions. This is possibly the most famous of all the Goons singles, and we used to, I know, as kids go around singing this. It's simply called the Ying Tong Song, which makes no sense whatsoever. Did you think it would make sense? So here is a famous record of the Goons back in the 1950s, the Ying Tong Song.
She tucked me in when I was 93.
Mind it on, who was that bum?
Ying tang, ying tang, ying tang, ying tang, ying tang, ying tang, ying
Ying tong, where's he going, lad?
Ying dong.
Last Thursday, I went to a concert given by the Midnight Follies Orchestra. This was a sort of rebirth of an orchestra that existed in the late 70s and was founded by the late Keith Nichols. And it's been put together again with a new lineup, but using Keith's arrangements. They specialise in mainly the black orchestras of jazz of the late 20s and early 30s. One of the tracks they've always played back then and now as well is something called Crazy Cat, a composition by Sam Wooding. By the way, the whole concert was strange because it began with the national anthem, which I thought was sort of weird, and that's how I discovered that the Queen had died. However, the concert did continue and was very successful. Back in 1978, when I heard Crazy Cat by Sam Wooding, I realised that Sam Wooding was a band of which I'd never heard. I actually managed to contact Sam Wooding himself because he was born in 1895, died in 1985, and until the very end was actively playing. In fact, he sent me a letter, his LP of what he was recording currently, that is in 1980, a strange mixture of vintage jazz with rock instruments like electric basses, and he even sent me a sort of publicity brochure, which I've still got. He must have been married to his vocalist, who was called Ray Harrison. However, I'm going to play you a recording of Sam Wooding way back in 1929. After being formed in the mid-20s, the band went to Europe to take part in a big show called the Chocolate Kiddies. Part of the personnel of that show was my good friend Adelaide Hall, and I know at least some of the music was written by the young Duke Ellington. As I say, the show was called Chocolate Kiddies, and after a while, when the show came to an end, as it were, the orchestra carried on in Europe under the banner of the Chocolate Kiddies Orchestra, and they toured all over the place and made recordings in Paris and Barcelona, of all places. Sam Wooding stayed on in Europe till about 1934, and then spent some time playing back in New York, but often coming back to Europe, the result being that he's almost forgotten in the USA and probably more known about in Europe than back home. The music that he wrote back then was a strange mixture of old-fashioned dance band and modern jazz as it was back then. And even in his later years, again, it's a mixture of old-fashioned music and trying to get modern with it. Altogether, I think he's quite a fascinating musical cul-de-sac, if you want. He had two famous musicians in the band for a while, Tommy Ladnier and Doc Cheatham on trumpet, but by the time this recording was made in late 1929, the only name which leaks out to me is the reed player Willie Lewis, who also stayed quite a long time playing in Europe, where no doubt racialism was far lower than it was back home. Well, enough said. This is Sam Wooding's version, recorded in November 1929, of She's Funny That Way. I sing this song regularly in my shows, but I do it as a ballad. Obviously, originally, it was regarded as a dance number, so it's fascinating to hear it done in that way. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Sam Wooding.
That way, I can't save a dollar, ain't got a cent, she's never holler, she's living a tent, I've got a someone crazy for me, she's funny that way, all the love, work and sleep for me every day, she'd be much better off if I went away, but why should I leave her, why should I go? Happy without me, I know. I've got a someone crazy for me.
Now, as I said, I received in the last few days a lot of CDs of early operatic recordings. Among the sopranos, because they're all of sopranos, that I received were some tracks of a wonderful soprano, unfairly forgotten because I think she was one of the great sopranos of the 20s. Her name was Giannina Aranchi Lombardi. I suppose she would have been a rival to people like Rosa Ponzel at the time, and even Claudio Muzio. She was born in 1891 and survived till 1951. She studied in Naples and for the first 3 years of her career was a mezzo-soprano, which I can sort of understand. Sometimes I think I'm listening to a mezzo. She's got a very rich lower range. She also had a quality that I can only describe as nobility, a sort of sad nobility. That's what I get from her singing. Very, very dignified somehow. She was best known for singing La Vestale, Lucrezia Borgia, La Gioconda, and Aida. But unlike the track I gave you earlier of Boninsegna singing Aida, I'm actually going to give you a recording of her singing from Trovatore called D'amor sull'ali rose. She retired in the late 30s, although she was still in very fine voice, and spent the rest of her life mainly as a teacher at the Music Conservatory in Milan. Whoever studied with her, I would have regarded as being very lucky. Well, here she is at the height of her powers in 1927, singing this famous aria from Il Trovatore.
Thank you.
Now let's talk about another name which is probably forgotten, certainly by me and probably by you too. His name was Elmer Schoebel. He was born in East St. Louis, which is the place which is part of the title of one of Duke Ellington's famous tunes, East St. Louis Toodaloo. He was born there in 1896 and he survived till 1970, apparently still playing till the end. My guess is he didn't need to, because he wrote one or two famous jazz songs, and no doubt that kept him fairly safe in terms of income for the rest of his life. He wrote Bugle Call Rag, Stomp Off Let's Go, Nobody's Sweetheart Now, Farewell Blues, and the track I'm About to Play You, because we're going to stay with the sort of royal theme of this whole podcast because of the death of Queen Elizabeth II last week. We will now be having, because Prince Charles becomes King Charles, we will be having a new Prince of Wales. Back in the late 20s, Elmer thought of writing a tune with a pun on that. This is called Prince of Wales, spelt W-A-I-L-S. This is, I think, the only one of his own compositions that he recorded with his own band. So this is, again, 1929. A very good recording, actually. I rather like this. It's recorded on the 20th of September, 1929, on the cusp of the Great Crash, and I can only commend it to you. This, then, is the Elmer Schoebel Friars Society Orchestra playing Prince of Wales. And before I get to my track, let me remind you that I still have 78s for sale. Do get in touch, because I have too many of these doubles and it could start a wonderful hobby for you. Just contact me at spats, S-P-A-T-S, spats47@ntlworld.com. N for nobody, T for Tommy, L for London, world.com. Once again, spats47@ntlworld.com. www.thebeatles.com. Particularly useful if you can get to London, because then you can just carry them away with you. Anyway, this, as I say, is my track. I, as you may know, because I've told you before, recorded a whole CD of Duke Ellington's songs about a year ago. They haven't been released yet, but I'm just giving you a sneak preview. One of them started its life as Subtle Slough. I have no idea what that means, because if you've been to the town called Slough, subtle is not the word for it. So it must mean something else, but I don't know what it was. It then had words written to it by somebody called Lee Gaines and became this song which I'm going to sing, which is called Just Squeeze Me. It was part of a review that Duke Ellington put together about 1941 called Jump for Joy. Be that as it may, it's a lovely song. I love doing it. I do this live sometimes with just the piano. Just Squeeze Me. Well, here it is. I hope you'll like it. And until next time, as always, au revoir.
Squeeze.